Hey guys, Liam Duggan here, captain of the 4WD podcast. We're driven by the Shelter Brewing Co. and are a part of Backchat Studios. You can support us on Patreon, where you can get bonus content and episodes before everybody else. Head to patreon.com/the4WD podcast.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, welcome back to the 4WD podcast, driven by Shelter. Day two of the 4WD show in Adelaide, Ronnie. We've got Maxis on board. Shelter are here. Southern River Band with Let It Ride. You guys can't hear that, but that is going on over the top.
Love it.
It is a good song.
Great vibes.
Introducing Mitch and Jess from Wandering Oz. Thank you very much for joining us, guys. You parked up next to us, so you drew the short straw, and we brought you on for the potty. But how's it been so far?
Twist of the arm.
Yeah, good show.
It's been good. Today has been pumping. The weather has turned it on for us.
Yep.
Friday's always a bit of a quieter one, but Saturday is looking to be the day to be here.
Yeah, it's launched. It's a massive crowd behind us all getting into some taco. Ronnie, how are you going, mate?
Yeah, it's all that sounding.
Busy morning.
Oh, mate, I'm going bloody great. Going great.
Has he been on stage?
A lot better than I thought I would right now. I felt a bit flat earlier, but I've come back.
You're
second
on,
win.
Because it's only 1 o'clock here, you're on a Coke at the moment. But we're going to crack open those shelters after, so
don't want to crack them too early.
Yeah, very good.
This absolute beast you got here behind us. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so brand new build for us. We've officially owned it for about a week. so it hasn't got
dirty
yet.
What's on the
yet.
Clock?
Pardon?
What's on the clock?
About 600 kilometres.
Nice.
Tops. that's from, you know, each of the mechanics and the dealers and the stockers to get it all fitted out. So a bit of a work in progress. Brand new XLT V6 Ranger. We've got a precision canopy on the back of it and a Bush Company rooftop tent and awning set up on the side. So pretty much emulated what we had in our old car, which was the 3.2 PX2 Ranger.
Yep. And I think the thing that's turning heads over there at the moment is the colour that you've gone with. So can you give us, encourage everyone to get over to Wandering Oz and have a look.
Come but, have a look.
But give us a little rundown on what you went with there.
Yeah, so she's a bit different. Underneath all the pretty stuff is just your standard white, but we've wrapped it up to look after the paint in a Bronco brown. It's a beautiful
Bronco brown.
Satin Bronco brown. Few of the punters yesterday thought it was Sandy Torp, but it's definitely not.
You fooled me.
Definitely not Sandy Torp. It looks pretty trick. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. It looks unreal. And now, Wandering Oz, you guys are local, South Australian, at the Adelaide show here, so they've made a really great, choice to put on the Adelaide sort of YouTube content creators and really make a showcase of that. So you're joined by a few fellow South Australians, but what got you into what you're doing now? So you guys are Barossa-based.
Barossa-based,
and working full-time as well. So I'd love you guys, to touch on what brought you to YouTubing, 4WD, adventuring, whilst balancing full-time work as well?
100%. So, look, we both grew up travelling Australia, both slightly differently, weren't we? My upbringing was outback travel. So my grandfather is Len Bedell.
Do you know that, Ronnie?
Yeah.
You did know
so
that?
So pretty special, something that we're pretty proud of. My upbringing was outback travel and getting off-road a fair bit and...
Jess's blood.
That's 100%.
If it's ever been in anyone's blood, it's in yours, I think.
Red dirt and corrugations are running through the veins.
That's awesome.
So that was pretty special growing up and being able to share that And then Jess had a similar upbringing, but slightly different, wasn't it? I'll let you chat about that.
Yeah, do you enjoy it as much, Jess, or is Mitch just dragging you along?
Oh, I love it.
Oh, you
no,
do?
No.
Awesome.
I'm not related to anyone famous, but I grew up like caravanning quite a bit just around Australia. Less bush, but still, yeah, love it. So I think as soon as we met, we knew that we wanted to do this all along.
Yeah.
So he's definitely dragged me around like the bush areas, and obviously like I've learned heaps about Lynn Vidal on the way, but...
Yeah.
It's cool that I'm now related.
Yeah.
But now we're
recently married too, so it's all in the name now too. Yeah.
Just you, do you like the beach or the bush?
Oh, that's a hard one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Both.
Both?
I think bush for the serenity and the quietness.
Yeah.
That's a word.
We'll take it.
But definitely beach in summer. Yeah. I love beach camping. Not so much.
We did like an hour. We did an hour podcast on that and didn't come to a definitive answer.
Oh, no,
we?
No.
It's just like a roundabout sort of chat for an hour.
What hat is sand?
We said that too.
Yeah.
Well, I said that. I don't know if you did.
Than getting into a bed full of sand.
Yeah, I like sand.
I'm with you. I'm with you there.
I don't mind the ocean, but
I don't even notice it.
No. Don't notice the sand.
No, I don't notice the sand.
No. Oh, look, there's a good trick to sand though. If you have some talcum powder, it gets the sand off your feet.
There you go. That's a trick.
Yeah, like I was doing a tag along down Bilbunya Dunes once, right?
Yep.
And I just said out loud, I said, I wish there was a way that you could just get the sand magically off your feet. And this lady piped up. She goes, "Yeah, talcum powder." And I was like, "What? Talcum powder?"
There you go. Tips and tricks with Ronnie,
mate.
So why is the expert?
So good.
Yeah, 100%. That's what brought us together. Like, it's a shared passion. As you touched on, we're both
cool.
full-time workers. So I'm a teacher full-time, and Jess is a paramedic full-time too. So
perfect for the bush, eh? Something goes wrong.
Yeah,
that's true.
So our love of adventure became a stress relief, I suppose.
Yeah.
Both high-stress jobs at times. So,
So how do you balance that with your full-time work? I mean, my profession, I have a set holiday, so I don't actually understand how you put in for leave, how you do this for big trips, or did you start out as weekend warriors? So how do you go about setting off on something like the Amberdale Highway?
100%. 100% we started out as weekend warriors, and that's where that's your proving ground, I suppose. We push the boundaries a little bit with our employers around holidays. So, trying to manipulate leave, and Jess has a little bit more flexibility than I do around school holidays. It's just, putting in the extra time when you're working, and then hopefully asking for favours back when you need it.
Yeah.
Tacking on a few extra days and weeks here and there after holidays and stuff like that. So, look, it's not as flexible as we'd love it to be, but we make it work because we love what we do. And we get to share that with other people too along the way.
Yeah.
What do you teach at school? Oh, what subject do you teach?
I'm a tech studies teacher. So I'm actually a chippy by trade.
Yeah,
and then
this is cool.
Got into tech studies. So teach a bit of woodwork, bit of metalwork, a bit of programming.
Hands on.
Fun.
Yeah,
hands
on. So we've got the paramedic, and then we've got the bush mechanic too. So we're all we're all sorted out there.
Yeah, bush mechanic at its finest. That's about the limit of my mechanical knowledge, I reckon.
Ah,
so,
very good.
So, Jess, what would you suggest is a good bush fix for a human?
Have you ever had to I don't know, what do you say?
We're away.
Yeah, have you ever been called upon out there?
No, I haven't needed to do anything while we've been away.
Yeah,
but
well, touch wood,
otherwise.
You don't have to, but I feel like I want to travel with these guys, so
although
I feel very safe.
I do make like the worst patient, don't I? I feel like I'm always the one hurting myself.
Yeah, okay.
He's always the one patching me up.
You swap roles out there. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, a lot of the people in this area that we're in, like, you could put a formidable team together to do, like, a real expedition, you know?
On this creative section here.
Yeah. You've got a nurse here.
Cooks.
Build some stuff.
Yeah.
We got the other guy over there, the Jeff.
What are you bringing?
Oh, my God. Me? Navigation.
Fair enough.
Finding camp in the dark.
Yeah.
I'm good at that.
Very good. I'd be a decent co-pilot, probably just sit in the other chair and... Yeah. toil away.
Yeah, keep me from talking too much in the two-way.
That's it.
Yeah. So,
Mitch,
how many of the Len Bedell tracks have you done?
I reckon, over my lifetime, I've ticked them all off. But I've done the Amberdell 4 or 5 times, the Connie Sue 3 or 4
that's
times,
my favorite.
The Gunbarrel Highway 3 or 4 times. So, look, it's really special. And I suppose part of, you know, being Lebedeau is a generation that sort of, you know, is getting on, and some people are, you know, not aware of what he did. And I suppose I feel like it's a little bit on my shoulders to share that a little bit, you know, teach people what's out there. The Simpson has always been a destination space, but I think the Western Deserts have got so much to offer, as long as people are prepared, you know, tick all the boxes and make sure they're, you know, well equipped. They've got equally as much to offer as the Simpson. And I want to share that. I want to make sure that my generation and younger know that these tracks exist and the story behind them.
Yeah.
You know, huge story behind how those roads came about, and the effort and the stories that went into
no
it.
Aircon.
So, no aircon. No aircon in the old Land Rovers. So, yeah, like there was legitimately blood, sweat and tears went into those roads by not just Len, and but a team of people, and that should be shared.
What was the first? Sorry, Liam,
no, go.
What was the first track you wanted to do? Like the first time you went out there to follow one of Len's footsteps. Which one?
My favourite would have to be the Sandy Blight Junction into the Gun Barrel Highway. Okay. I think that's a beautiful section of country. When I got my own four wheel drive and was like, we're going bush, I can't wait to do it. I'd take any of them. The Amberdale Highways is probably the more accessible of the tracks. Being close, a little bit closer to home, and distance wise is you know, it's probably a bit easier.
We have covered it before, so just for everyone's knowledge, the Amberdale runs from Coober Pedy on your side,
yep,
in SA, yeah, to
Laverton in WA. So tick over 1300 k's.
Massive stretch.
So there's one fuel stop now along the way.
Yep.
That's about 800 k's from Coober Pedy, and a little roadhouse called Ilkirka.
Yep.
And they've got your basic supplies, fuel and water and mechanics and stuff, mechanical supplies and stuff like that there. But yeah, otherwise it's she's pretty remote.
Yeah. Now you haven't had time, Ronnie, to go and watch Mitch talk. I went over to the big stage yesterday and Mitch jumped up there, and Friday was a bit slower than what it is today, so get ready for later on, mate. There's a beginning
crowd there.
Those
people off.
The best thing happened yesterday that I saw at the whole show, Mitch started and he spoke about his relation or his ties to Lennon Amberdale and all this, and some old duck in the crowd just starts clapping him. I was like, yeah, this is awesome. Who knows? She's probably been four wheel drive and camping for 100%. Her lifetime.
She came and caught us after, and she said, I've been a fan of Amberdale since I was 16 years old. Yeah. So,
wow, that's cool.
Yeah, that you come across those people all the time, and you know, it's exciting to be able to share their joy about, it's amazing that you're, you know, the relation and that you're continuing to do. And it makes sense, I guess, what Jess and I do when people find out. Like, you know, getting away isn't everyone's, you know, as remote as we do, isn't everyone's cup of tea, but it makes sense when people realise, like, where that was bred.
Yeah, it's a great connection to have in the industry, far out.
Have you met Owen Douglas?
I haven't. Well, not that I remember. I might have been a little, but no.
Okay. Who is that, Ronnie?
That'd be really cool to put these two guys together. Owen Douglas. That's Malcolm Douglas's grandson.
Oh, right, eh?
So, yeah. Like, he lives up in Broome at the moment with Valerie up near the Croc Farm and all that.
Yep.
So it'd be really cool for you guys to sort of get together and just have a yarn.
100%.
You're flying all over that one.
It's actually how me and Harry from Fighter 4 connected. He was doing a trip along the Amberdale.
Oh, yeah.
And, we connected that way. So,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's awesome. You don't have to tick off people to, like, head in there, do you?
No, we don't. We do a fair bit. My auntie Connie and her husband do a fair bit of maintenance on the tracks, especially the signage.
So Connie is in Connie Sue? It's
Connie Sue, Sue Highway. So, they do a fair bit of maintenance on the tracks, signage and stuff like that. Yep. Unfortunately, there are a breed of people that like to souvenir things, and not just on our tracks, but all over Australia. So they go and replace signage and make sure everything's up to date and replace visitor books and stuff like that too.
Yeah,
so,
cool.
We have a fair part in making sure that, you know, the tracks are still, you know, a place to go, a destination place to go. So the family does a lot to do that. And, share Len's story through, you know, his books and tapes and stuff like that.
That's awesome.
So, and they're great reads. They're just lighthearted.
Yeah.
Good history, but, you know, lots of humour in there too.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, I'm going to shift gear a little bit here, head towards, so part of Ronnie's chat when he's up on stage here at the moment is you've been talking about the editing side of being a YouTube content creator, a YouTuber content creator, and the grind. So you guys probably likewise haven't had a chance to look at Ronnie's, but pretty incredible. We've spoken about it, so I won't bore the listeners, but just I suppose the time and effort that it takes to get these videos out, the travel that's done to get to these shows around the country. So for you guys, do you enjoy that part of being YouTubers and content creators?
Yeah.
The editing style, the filming, photography, because it takes, like, you're very high quality videos. It takes, I can see how hard these bikes work around here.
Yeah. I think if you did enjoy that side of it, you wouldn't do it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's hard. Some days is harder than others, for sure. But we came back, like our three-week Ambadel trip, we came back with about just over a terabyte of footage.
Right.
So that's a lot of footage to go through.
That's a lot.
Do you shoot 4K?
Full 4K. Yeah.
Adds up, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Across a couple of GoPros and a Sony A7 and a drone. So, you know, there's a fair bit of footage to be able to catalogue and make sure you don't lose track of. It's pretty easy to lose clips amongst everything else.
Yeah.
So.
And did you learn that through just playing around, mucking around with it? And
I suppose we started out with the photography side of stuff, which, you know, I mucked around with at school and did a bit of editing and stuff at school as well. So I had a bit of an interest there already.
Yep.
And heck, if you look back at some of our first videos, we've come a long way.
Yeah.
And you learn, like, you know, if you need to find something, there's a reason YouTube has been so big. Like, if I need to find something or I want to do something or I want to emulate something that I've seen on someone else's channel, I just go on YouTube.
Head straight to YouTube. 100%.
How do you feel when you look at your early stuff?
Cringeworthy, some of it. Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. Very cringeworthy.
Anyone listening, don't look at our first video.
That's it. Start from about, you know, 2022. It's good to watch back and see how far you've come.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. But it's an effort. Like, it takes time.
Yeah.
You know, as I said, 1.5 terabytes of footage. And you're making a 20, 30-minute episode, that's probably 8 hours work plus.
So, Jess, what's your role in it all out on the road? Are you... If Mitch is driving, are you driving
the... You know?
She brings the good looks.
Just getting the shots and...
I help here and there, I guess. I take more, like, photos and video footage. He is the one that edits.
Puts it all
together. So, and then he shows me if it looks good
or not. You're the final say.
Tell him what to change and all that sort of stuff. But
definitely the QA.
You're definitely the creative one.
Yeah.
I would say, we need to get a shot of the car driving past. Can you just run over 100 metres down that way across that sand dune? And she gets the camera and off she goes.
I like watching the playbacks of, like, when you have to drive past and you got to get out of sight and then some content creators will play them running back to get it. They're like sweating.
I'm literally that person.
Yeah, right. Okay.
That's my job.
Doesn't look like a lot of fun, that one.
It's much easier when you have a camera car. I tell you. Don't always have that either, but when you have a camera car, oh my God, it's so good.
Changes things up a bit.
You just sit in the car for a bit.
We're not that big, unfortunately, but and you touched on it, like, I hope you're paying well. I suppose, like, we never did it for money.
Yeah.
Like, you do it because you enjoy creating the content or you want to share. Like, for us, it's about sharing. Mm. We enjoy the content creation side of things as well. But if you're getting into YouTube initially because you think you're going to get rich doing it, you're in it for the wrong reason. Because it's Ronnie can attest to this. Like, it takes time to get to that level.
Yeah.
You don't snap your fingers and go from zero to, you know, being well-known and making lots of money and getting 100,000 views on videos overnight. Like, it's hard slog. So
the only way to do that if you have an endless budget and you roll your car every week.
That's it.
It seems to be a thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all the TV shows, they've got to roll the car now.
Yeah.
To,
it's just not possible, is it?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So, for us, it's about sharing. We get to enjoy our trips while we're away, and then we get to relive them as we edit.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So it can definitely get stressful, I suppose, like making sure. Pleasing those social media algorithms can be a little stressful sometimes if you let it get to you. You want to make sure, you know, you're trying to, you know, not, you're doing it for fun, but if you're, you want to try and get your content out in a timely sort of fashion, sometimes, you know, you can put yourself under a bit of stress with the timelines and the rest of it too. So you've got to find that balance.
How do you go with the idea? I want to say competitive within yourselves, but the how do you find your improvement in your videos? Because I feel like everyone, it's just human nature, your own biggest sort of critique. So, and your videos are great quality, but I feel like when you do your own stuff, there's always, you want to do something else or something better, or how do you keep trying to improve the videos? Is it just going back to YouTube and learning something different or checking something else 100%. Out to get ideas?
Yeah, 100%. And whether it's like, we get a lot of our ideas from watching other people.
Yeah.
You know, not just destination stuff, but just, you know, the style of, you know, the way people are editing or what they're adding. And you look at the sort of the trend of YouTube over probably the last 5 years, and it's changing, you know, like completely changing.
Yeah.
You know, so for us, it's about sticking true to us and being who we want to be, but, you know, incorporating some of the stuff we see from other people. Yeah. And go, oh, that's a great way of, you know, editing that. We want to include that, you know.
A lot of it's situational as well, though, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, yeah, for sure.
It's something happens and then it changes your whole story and then you got to rethink it all. And
You really got to be
adaptive, and 100%. Especially in the environment that you guys like to travel as well. Yeah. On those tracks as well.
We go into to any trip with a bit of an idea, like, you know, probably me more so think about what I want to get out of it at the end. Like, what's the feel that I want to get?
Yep.
And then sometimes I go back and rewatch the footage and we're nowhere near it.
Okay.
Like, so, and you got to change, like, you just change it up. Yeah. Like, you still got to make use of what you've got.
Yep.
You know, we're not driven by, you know, a certain style of video. Yeah. Our videos change depending on where we are.
Yeah.
So speaking of sharing tasks and stuff, how much of the driving do you guys share?
It's pretty 50-50, isn't it?
50-50, I
reckon. Oh, really? Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
Hope Lauren's listening to this. I did 98% of it.
Yeah.
On our last trip.
Well, Jesse's used to just zooming around in an ambulance, you know, 150 miles an hour. Yeah. So, you know, big range is not too far different.
Yeah, it's driving a little mini.
I love it. I always jump in the driver's seat when I can.
I can't blame Lauren because I do like driving, so it's not all on her. But
I love driving, but once she gets in, I can't get her out.
Yeah, right. That's good. Especially when you're in this new thing, testing that out.
Well, when we picked up the new car, the dealer handed over the keys straight to Jess, and that was it. Like, I was the second to drive it. So
you can always, you get closer to camp, you just hand Jess the keys and then get stuck into some shelters.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, not complaining about that at all. Complaining about it at all. Good coffee.
I'm going to pick both your brains here a little bit. We're obviously at the Adelaide Four-Wheel Drive and Adventure Show, so we'll pump up SA a bit while we're here. But obviously, Ronnie, Bendleby Rangers that you've just been through, you've absolutely loved that. Have you got any other hotspots in SA that you can take us through, or how much have you done of it?
The end of the Amador Highway, really.
Yeah, that's true. Awesome. Yeah, that creeps all the way out, doesn't it?
Rode the Beachport and stuff, but a lot of this travel is not like your remote touring travel.
Yep.
I mean, you do get that at the back of SA, but most of the stuff I've done in SA is just it's like you'll challenge yourself up in the Flinders. Look,
you
can explore around the Flinders.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm sure you'll give us quite a few spots as well, like Arkaroola and that. But I haven't really. Honestly, I've just dipped my toe in to South Australia, and there's so much. South Australia's underrated. Doesn't get talked about enough.
Do
you guys feel the same?
Yeah. I think the beautiful thing about South Australia is we've got something for every time of year.
Yeah.
So wintertime, we can head up into the Flinders and get some nice weather, go up through Innamincka, do the Strzelecki up to Innamincka, or go up to Birdsville, which is just over the border of Queensland. And then, you know, all that sort of centre of South Australia stuff is fantastic. Yep. Amberdale Highway, you've got the Painted Desert. You know, it's fantastic. There's the Flinders and the Bendleby Ranges area is just huge. So endless weekenders and week trips that you can be going through there. And then in the summertime, like, we're pretty lucky with our beaches. Like, from the Eyre Peninsula, the York Peninsula, Robe to Beachport through the southeast is absolutely stunning. So there is something for everyone. And I think probably in the last 10 years, I think travellers that are coming from interstate are starting to realise what SA has to offer. Like, we're not Adelaide with not much going on. Like, there's a fair bit going on, and there's heaps of places to go check out.
I think it's the best way to put it. It's pretty underrated, the word.
Yeah.
Even I've spent 4 or 5 nights just in the middle of the season last year in the Barossa, Adelaide Hills area, and just that little pocket itself. Not four-wheel driving. We were just having a look around, and the scenery is just beautiful. It's just no idea. Like, it was even there, sort of thing. Obviously, I'd heard of it, but I hadn't actually.
We're pretty lucky.
Yeah,
pretty lucky.
Beautiful part of the world.
Yeah, it's like if you draw a line from Darwin all the way down to straight line down to Adelaide, everything to the west is just so open.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's incredible how much land that is not, really developed. Occupied or anything.
Yep.
It's just this massive area you can explore, camp, and check out. Yeah. And I'd love to see your spider web on the map if you've drawn one. I reckon that'd be cool because yours would be very essential, right?
And because we do, like, because we're part-time travellers with our full-time work, a lot of our stuff is weekenders, isn't it? So, we go off and we've, you know, spread and we've done a lot of South Australia and we're keen now to start spreading and doing more, like, you know, the east. We've not touched much of the eastern state stuff, so we'd love to do that. We've got big plans to go and spend some extended time over in WA and really lap that up because there's some beautiful spots over in WA, but we think we're pretty lucky over in South Australia that, you know, you can be not too far away. Like, even the Riverland is like a beautiful spot, summer or winter. Yeah. You know, jump up on the Murray River and camp on the side of the river, light a fire and love that. And it's an hour away.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not far. You know, you can get some beautiful camp spots in four driving areas that are not far away from home.
It's a good sell.
Lucky.
Yeah, it's definitely. Can we get from both of you, your personal both, top two places you got to see in SA?
Top two. All right, I'll go start you off while you're thinking. Top two for me would be Eyre Peninsula for the summer.
Yep.
Just endless beaches that you can be camping on.
Any spot
camping
in particular?
The Coffin Bay or?
Coffin Bay is good, but can be busy. If you want to go, like, the national parks are beautiful, but we travel with our dog a fair bit, so we're sort of restricted a little bit there. I would say up through Streaky Bay, Smoky Bay is beautiful. Yep. Sort of
to
northern.
Sejuna side.
Yeah, yep. Sejuna side is quite good. And then just sort of, again, sort of towards Tumbee, between Tumbee and Port Lincoln, there's some beautiful beaches to camp on. So summertime, Eyre Peninsula, wintertime, if you want to go close to home, you really can't beat the Flinders.
Yep.
There is stations for days up there to camp on, and the Bendlebys is one example of that. So, that would be my two spots for close to home.
Before we get Jess's spot, so how much time would you recommend people take to go to these two places?
You could do the Eyre Peninsula in, say, 4 or 5 days.
Okay.
But you could also do the Eyre Peninsula in 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
If you really took your time to hop between the beaches and lap it up, there's lots to do, lots of national parks to check out, lots of four driving to do along the beaches, fishing.
Yeah.
You know, there's something for everyone. Playground. You can go inland, so if the weather starts to blow up, there's some serious stuff up inland. So Gawler Ranges is not too far away from Streaky Bay, so jump into there. So however long you got, you can fill it. Like, it's literally, it's a great region.
Awesome. Yep. Enough time, Jess?
I bought you a fair bit of time then.
I'd have to say probably the southern beaches, I reckon, like Rapid Bay, like Port Wollonga, but specifically KI, like just the whole section in summertime, probably my fave. And then I'd have to go, Flinders popped into my mind straight away.
Yeah, right.
In winter. Is
there a particular part of the Flinders?
Sorry?
Is there a particular part of the Flinders you enjoy?
I'd have to say, I was going to say Farina. Farina have like the best bakery. Is that still open?
Which
they
love.
Do. Still open?
2 months of the year.
June, July, August.
Hey, right.
What? It's open 2 months of the year.
I think it's three. But anyway, really good sauce of drops.
Okay.
Two or three. That's not a very long time to be open.
There you go.
And like Mount Little. Whereabouts is that again? Is that north? Yeah, it's north of the Flinders.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Now I'm sort of hungry and I want to go to the Flinders.
Let's all go to the bakery.
Yeah. I'm going to get a pie right now or a Danish pastry.
Yeah. Very good. I just want to cover your car quickly. So to give us a little bit, I know you touched on it briefly at the start.
Yep.
But the recent build, it looks awesome. Who have you used to sort of set that whole thing up?
Yeah, so look, we did our research on our old car, really. So we've emulated what we did on our old car on the new car.
Yeah.
As I said,
which was a Ranger.
So we've got a Bush Company rooftop tent on the top, which we had before. We loved it. Didn't let us down. So we went with them again. And their 180 awning to match that. We have...
So the 180 awning going to the front and to the back.
The XT Max, so it goes both ways, which is really, really good. Gives us lots of shade, but it means we can still access the tent from the rear of that car.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
for sure. We have... there's a company called Pirate Campco who do a whole lot of specialist products for the Rangers, the next-gen Rangers. So we've used them. So underbody protection, which has been fantastic, and a few little switch panels and gas strut kits here and there.
Yep.
So they're really cool. So we've done them. We still run our Toyo tyres. We've run them for like 10 years now. Yep. Never let us down. So I know you guys are with Maxxis, so apologies about the clash of sponsorship. But Toyos, we love them. They've really done us well on all our trips.
Yep.
I can guarantee there's only down either.
Yeah.
Give them a go next time.
We'll have to go on a trip together and see which one lasts. Yeah. We've then gone with there's a local company called the Bush... Blacksmith Camping Supplies.
Yeah.
They do all your the canvas products.
I've seen them a bit around at the show.
Dirty wheel bags, your fridge organizers, your pantry organizers, camp oven bags, your porta potty, any of those stuff. So we've made sure we fitted out the inside of that with them. Local company, Australian made canvas, Australian made products.
Yep.
So we love that stuff. We've got ARB protection on the front with the bull bar, and then we've kitted that up with the Oricom UHF system, and then we've gone and looked after the transmission with a wholesale automatics trans cooler, so that when we want a tow, we're really looking after the transmission of that space. So,
How hot does the transmission get?
I haven't looked. So, as I said, we've only done 600 k's.
It's on your dash, right?
It will be. Yeah. So we haven't really played around with it too much. But yeah, we'll be able to check in with us in a few months when we get on some trips and
be keen
see what
to know.
Doing.
Yeah. Because when I test drove one, it definitely needed it.
That's it. And look, vans are not getting smaller. So if you ever want a tow, looking after your trans and your drive line's really important.
I'd like to see this Range Rover here go well, because our friend here, Ronnie, he just wasn't all over the new Ford Ranger at the start. So
I saw your little test video, Ronnie. You gave it a good whacking in the sand. It looked good.
I gave it a good whack in the sand.
There's too many buttons and dials
There is a lot. Don't get me wrong. I'm a bit of a tech man. You don't teach tech studies and the rest if you don't like...
And not into it.
You don't like tech. So I do like the toys, the gizmos and gadgets.
100%.
But there is such a thing as too much. Sometimes you can overcomplicate it.
Yep.
So ours has not got the premium pack. It doesn't have all the 360 cameras and all the rest of it, all the front sensors. But it's got the stuff that makes it comfortable on long journeys.
Jess is too good a driver. You don't need those 360 cams on it.
That's it. Should back that thing in anyway.
Yeah. Will you do a walk around video on that when it comes time?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because I'm going to encourage people now to keep an eye on that, because the canopy, for someone that doesn't have one that would love one, it's pretty much it's probably the one that I just say, whatever Mitch and Jess have, put that on, because
it's good.
Just spatially, it's just all set out really nicely.
We worked with Precision to design the internals of that and even the rear setup based off what we had before.
Yeah.
Because it worked, we teased some things out in our last car and it worked really well. We got this made out of Ali to make a lighter.
It's just bloody clean.
Weight is everything. So, we'll do a full video. We've just got to finish the 12-volt system on the inside.
Yep.
And then we'll film it all and get it out.
You running upright fridge or?
Upright fridge, yeah. We got the Bushman upright fridge, the 85. Saves digging through a chest fridge.
It saves
so much
the weight
easier.
As well from the drop slide.
Tell you who loved that little tip on Mitch's talk yesterday, the voice behind the Jaden, who's... texting.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate, if we're boring you. But
he's on text.
He loved that little
tip.
We got home and he's like, the upright fridge is such a good call by Mitch. So it might be in the market.
Nothing I reckon you might have just done a sale on the...
Are you selling stuff?
Just bought one.
Oh, good on you.
bought a fridge. There you go. Very good.
We're going to jump into something. So it's around the fire pit. This is where we do some quick fire questions. And we'll try and get you guys involved. I know it's up on the socials. We did a quick launch here to see if we could get any in for these guys, but Maxxis are on board now for us for around the fire pit. I know you guys are Toyo, but we're sticking with Maxxis. They're supporting around the fire pit now, which we're really thankful for. But I'm going to just ask Jaden there. He doesn't have a mic, but has you got any questions for us, mate?
Well, you're there, Jaden.
Normally there's a bit of a crackle going.
There is a crackle going. I can hear it.
He can probably whip that up.
Everyone around
never,
is talking
you'll,
loud.
You're fine. We'll never...
it sounds good?
That's it.
Nice. Just imagine. Yeah.
We love that.
Hold that one there, Liam. We'll read in a sec. Oh, hey, folks, you got any questions? You get a chance to win a carton of shelter.
Yeah. Penny win a carton of us. Jaden, what
have you got any questions, man? I'm just speaking
saucy and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, have you got any questions for the podcast?
I'm literally crawling in. So I don't know what's going on.
Just jump over here, mate, and have a look for a bit.
If you just ask a question, you get a case of beers.
Just got to jump over here, though. Over here. Yeah.
So, there we go. You'll see what's the question.
Who are we?
We're Jess and Midge from Wandering Oz Adventures, and we'll let these guys
Simpsons. I'm Liam, and this is Ronnie Dahl, who the big timer. We are the Four Wheel Drive Podcast together, though, guest interviewing Mitch and Jess. So that's, yeah. So you, that's all you need to ask, mate, if you want a case of beer, because we just needed one question off you. And, yeah, go.
What's your reason for travelling?
What's the reason for travelling? This is a really good question here, Ronnie.
And I reckon you did something similar at the last year's show. Remember, you did your destination or the journey?
Destination or the journey.
It's either beach and bush. It never gets there, right?
That's it. 100%. You go around in circles. Our reason for travel is stress relief, yeah? We work in high-stress jobs, and we find that's the best relaxing place that we can find.
Yeah.
You're looking for the best relaxing place. Yeah. But what about the journey? Does it...
We're 50-50, the journey and the destination. The Amberdale Highway is the journey, right?
Can I rephrase?
Yeah, go.
What about the journey on a Len Bedell?
Yeah. There's nothing better. And I think
going back in time.
Yeah, that's it. And that's why we're 50-50, journey and the destination.
Yeah.
Like, the journey along like any of Len's roads, awesome. You get to the next signpost and it's just another piece of history.
Yeah.
The destination, there's always part of that, you know. There's lots of destinations around Australia we want to go to, but you lap up the journey on the way.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to cut us off there because I feel like... thank you, mate, for that question. Hang around. We'll give you a case of beers. But we did have some questions here.
Let's go.
I think we need to wrap up because next door might be after...
Yeah, next door stole their power.
So, Mitch and Jess, thank you. Wandering Oz, encourage everyone to get over there. Thank you for taking the time to come and chat with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
I enjoyed getting to know you guys. And yeah, we can keep this friendship going, I think. We've got some friends over at Wandering Oz now, right?
Yeah, definitely, mate. Yeah.
Yeah, we've got the shelters here. Thank you to them again. Maxis,
have
thank
a crack
you
at that.
On board.
We can give
enjoy
you a strong
those.
One in a second.
We'll get you some more.
These are
but
delicious.
It'll be music by the Southern River Band to let us to get us out. I'm under pressure here now because they want the thing.
We've
got a podcast. Go and check us out. You know where to find us now. Cheers, guys.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact... You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.